Welcome back to another episode of the EFL Freezer Crowd podcast. As always, I'm joined by Andy.
Afternoon, James.
How are we doing?
Yeah, very well.
Good, good. And Statman Luke.
All right, guys.
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah.
I've realized, how are you, Luke?
I'm wondering.
No one asked.
Oh yeah, Luke's also here.
In a week where Peterborough are in seventh heaven, Paul Mullin is breaking records, and Joey Barton proves there's no such thing as a peaceful protest in Bristol. Welcome back to the podcast. Well, this week, obviously the international break for the Championship, so we'll move straight into League One, and realistically, there's only one place to start, isn't there? Take it away, Joey.
And I'm not sure what to do. You know, it feels like there's a real agenda against us. You know, certainly the officials we've had in the last seven, eight, nine games have been suspect.
Joey Barton, when your manager stands up after the game and says, I'm not sure what to do, you're second from bottom. You're not really winning games. The players are turning around looking for a bit of inspiration. I'm not sure what to do. Joey Barton seems to be losing the plot a little bit at the moment, going mad after every game, not really turning their fortunes around since being appointed. What is going on?
Yeah, I mean, seven, eight, nine games, he says there. How many games has he been manager?
10.
Okay. So, I mean, that first game, did they win that first game, I assume?
No, I think they actually lost.
Okay, but the rest.
That one falls into good. 7-8-9.
Yeah, he's, I don't know, it's not going well down there for him, is it, to put it nicely. But to come out after what seems every game at the moment, blaming the ref, I mean, it's just tiresome. I know their fans don't even agree with him, it seems like. I mean, he does go on in that interview, doesn't he, to say something even more funny.
It's worrying. You know, you expect a level of consistency and we haven't, and it does, you know, start to make you think about kind of conspiracy theories.
Conspiracy theories.
The thing is, when I'm watching Bristol Rovers at the moment, I do find myself drifting off because it's so boring. Just thinking about, you know, who built the pyramids. Shot Mr.
All the big.
Not having it that it was Maggie. Not having it.
It's just the fact that he thinks that that many people care about him and Bristol Rovers. It's like, yeah, yeah, there's a big conspiracy against you, Joey. It's not that you're a shit manager and your team are crap. It's the big conspiracy.
This goes deep underground.
It has to. Because, I mean, I am God.
No, in all seriousness, though, I mean, he needs to get something right soon because they're in a big mess down there. Don't look like they're really going to get out of that relegation scrap anytime soon. Lee Johnson, though, leading Sunderland ridiculously well. And if they win those games in hand, which we find ourselves saying a lot on this podcast, then Sunderland could actually win the league.
I don't think anyone's going to bet against that as well at the moment. Lee Johnson, sort of, I mean, the absolute opposite of Joey Barton at the moment. You heard Barton, there's post-match comments, but I mean, there was a lot made of Lee Johnson's pre-match comments to the Sunderland players. A load of weird stuff that we expect from Johnson, really. I mean, there was some weird thing to do with them telling them all to act like sharks and go after their prey. I think Aidan O'Brien mentioned it, and then he also did a little shark celebration when he scored. Apparently he had some slideshow up, so you can just imagine the levels of David Brentness that must have been.
But simply the best.
Just remember one thing. He is working miracles up there, the opposite of Joey Barton. So can we really laugh at it? Yes, we can, but...
We will.
And will. Yeah.
But he is laughing as well at the moment, so...
physically sick, to be honest. I'm rapidly falling out of love with football. I just wonder what's the point anymore, you know.
John Coleman there. Sure his words to the boys after their game on Saturday was in a similar vein. Against the Peterborough side, who were actually, despite looking quite good this season, on a bit of a duff run at the moment. And 7-0 Peterborough. Seven.
That's what you seven need when you're on a goals. Bit of a duff run, for the other team to turn up yeah. and look like they're hungover. Just, I don't know what they were doing. It didn't look just like they were bad. Like, it's when you turn up to five a side and the other team's like, you know, been to the pub before because the football's been on. Like 3 o'clock games, they've come back and they're a bit drunk and you can take advantage. They were slicing everything all over the shop. Like, what can you do but just play that soundbite over and over again?
You said Peterborough have been on a bit of a duff run. And Luke, you said that they looked drunk, the Accrington players. I think they'd been on a duff beer run, hadn't they? No.
Rolling at 9, punch out at 5. That's the plan. Well, off to the plant, then to the Duff Brewery. Uh-oh. Did I say that or just think it? I gotta think of a lie fast.
Homer, are you going to the Duff Brewery?
But the thing that I liked most about the 7-0er was the fact that none of the goals were really like wonder goals. Everything they touched turned to gold. I mean, you see other games where there's been a lot of goals, like that first one that comes to mind, Man United 8, Arsenal 2. They were just smacking in goals from 40 yards that day. Peterborough, they were all tap-ins for most of them. I mean, they looked like it could have been double figures.
It looked like it could have been, probably should have been. Luke the other week gave a bit of stick to Matt Jay for one of the worst hat tricks he's ever seen. Johnson Clark Harris just threw his name into the hat, I think. Three goals from no further out than about 3 yards each, to be honest. Three gifts. Probably couldn't believe his luck. And that's what he does, though, isn't it? Poacher. When three goals in one game come from that far out from the goal, you just know it's one of them days.
Yeah, I mean, I'll throw this out there. That first goal was actually good. He takes a touch. He takes a touch and steadies himself when he's like 3 yards out. Who else is doing that? You just smack it first time, but
who sort else of
dummies everyone and then slides it in. Well, okay, worst hat trick.
Congratulations, Johnson Clark Harris.
No, I mean, we've said before, obviously, about the potency of their attack with people like Schmodix and Clark Harris and Dembele, who actually didn't really feature at the weekend. But to go and score seven against a Accrington Stanley side who, let's be honest, are doing pretty well this season, is massive testament to Peterborough. Maybe it was just a Big Mac too many for the Accrington Stanley boys. Oh, no one else knows it.
Is this a reference I've missed?
Yeah, they get a McDonald's on the way home if they win a game, don't they?
I think I got promised that at under eights.
In fact,
fair,
I'm pretty
we
sure...
lost 7-0 every week.
Yeah. Very thin team. Yeah, Accrington, they were a bit rusty, weren't they? They just had a week off for the first time in a while. And John Coleman, before the game, said it was a desperately needed week off for Accrington. I'm not sure it was, John. you should have kept the momentum going, because that was terrible.
And from a massive game at the top of the table to a huge one at the bottom, Wimbledon against Northampton. Lots of drama in that one.
Yeah, 20th, the 21st, both absolutely desperate for the points. And Wimbledon looked like they'd done enough, didn't they? Joe Pigger, 88th minute winner. But that wasn't the end of the story, was it? A ridiculously soft penalty given in the 95th minute. I mean, the ref, you can't do that in such a massive game like that, ref.
The best bit about it is there isn't even like an appeal for the penalty. And then when the referee's whistle goes, the players start asking for the penalty. So no one actually thinks that that's a pen. It just isn't.
It's what Joey Barton would call a conspiracy theory.
God, if that had happened in one of his games, yeah.
We would have abducted by aliens in his game, I think, if that happens.
Sam Hoskins had his penalty saved by Sanev in the Wimbledon goal. And I mean, it just sparks celebrations that you love to see. Is there anything better in football? I'll ask you this, you know, than a last minute. I'll ask you this before I ask it, just so you know.
Luke, does he want an answer?
he hasn't finished the question yet. I'll ask you this. Silence. Is there anything better in football?
Than a dog on the pitch.
No, there's not. No.
Sorry, Andy, let's hear it.
Has anyone got a stat about Leuven? One for the regulars. can't be bothered to say it. I was going to say, is there anything better than a last minute penalty save when the whole team is celebrating with the goalkeeper? Is there?
I think it's better than a last minute goal. I think it's better than a last minute winner because the goalie, you've got 11 players celebrating instead of 10.
Yeah, I like it. You know, the goalie doesn't normally get praise at the end of the game. It's normally the forward. And Sanev, he's got the praise, all of them. Although what I did like was at least two of the players were still moaning at the ref after the game that he'd given the penalty. You've won. Celebrate.
I would just like to throw in there that one of those two would have been me. If I was on that pitch, I certainly would have still been given the referee. Just because he saved it doesn't mean it's okay, ref, all right?
Yeah, you've got out of jail there, ref.
When you watch that back on Quest tonight, ref, you'll be happy you saved that.
We're on to you. You built the pyramids.
Wrong team. Although right end of the table, because that's a huge win for Wimbledon, much needed. And yeah, it's really anyone's game down there, isn't it, on who's going to get relegated. So a huge last nine games of the season.
Well, down into League Two, and I think we'd better start with Bolton Forest Green. A big one this weekend at the top of the table. Bolton absolutely flying at the moment. Forest Green in need of some points to keep that promotion push going. And Bolton obviously come out on top.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago where Bolton was struggling down the bottom and Ian Evatt said they were the best team in the league. And I think we reacted like Luke just did then. And who's laughing now? Yeah, inevitably, it's not us. Yeah, another win against the top Forest Green side. And who was the difference?
Well, as Cooper said.
Apart from David Nugent. Good point. He was not playing.
Next game. As Forest Green manager said, Cooper, difference between the two teams, Owen Doyle. I mean, it works because he was literally the difference between the two teams, but you could probably say that every week you didn't win, couldn't you really? Just list off the player that scored.
He was different, He was literally different because he could only play for one team. So, there was an unfortunate injury early on as well, which made the headlines. Jameel Matt, a really odd one. Seems to just a normal collision. He actually fouled someone else and then went down. And I'm in the hand. It wasn't nice, was it?
It was very broken.
Yeah, I think that was the official diagnosis.
It's broken.
Doctor's report.
And then there's that.
Doctor's report. Very broken. To be fair,
he's added very.
It looked like it had been ran over by a lorry. It was an absolute mess. It really was a mess. I've not seen anything like it.
I shouldn't laugh.
Having said all that, I ask you one question: hand injury. Does he need a stretcher? Because he's had one.
Because he didn't have one.
I would have got stretchered off.
Yeah.
No, it looks so bad. That if you're going to get stretchered off for a hand injury, that's it. But should you ever be stretchered off for a hand injury? The answer is no.
Jamil, mate, you can literally still walk. Bring on the stretcher.
I mean, we don't want to make light of it too much because the guy was clearly in agony. But and hopefully he's back pretty soon, although he did have a picture of him smiling. I was going to say with his thumb up then, but
he was not smiling. I've never seen anyone look so miserable in a picture that he knew his season was over. It's quite sad for Forest Green because he, like you say, with Owen Doyle, he's been the difference for Forest Green, and Bolton leapfrogged them with that win. Does that mean that Forest Green are only going to get playoffs this year? Because they were in the hunt for automatics for so long.
I think when a team's only 1 point off the automatics, it's a bit early. It's a bit early to rule them out completely. But you've asked me the question, so I'll say yes. I think you look at a team, especially like Bolton, who are, as you say, leapfrog them, look a class apart at the moment, with Cambridge up there and Cheltenham, Tranmere. It's going to be very difficult to break into that top three now.
No, Andy, I think you're right. Although, as you say, they're still well in with a chance of finishing up there for automatic promotion. It's form that you have to look at this time in the season. And Bolton are certainly the informed team. And actually, there's a few more teams around them that look like they could just pick up more points than Forest Green, which is a bit of a shame because they've been one of the teams of the league, of the division this year, actually, who I'm not sure where people would have put them at the start of the season, but they've had a great season. So hopefully they still finish up there and have a good go at it in the playoffs if they don't manage to get into the automatics. Well, Luke, obviously international break meant there was no Coventry or Millwall game this weekend, so it really fell over to you this weekend. Carlisle?
Yeah, I'm sick of this season already. I feel like Carlisle's social media department lost on Tuesday to Leighton Orient, who were massively out of form. 1-0. Carlisle's Twitter account just tweets, Farman came out when he didn't need to, and Wilkinson got it over and into the back of the net. You can tell they're fed up of it too. Just like, oh, why has he done that? Why has he done that? Nothing left to play for. Give up.
Well, it's just the same old story, isn't it? We mention the same thing every week. That's not like us. But yeah, and then it went from bad to worse, really, conceding in the last minute yesterday.
Yeah, Aaron, you said earlier about things that you just really love to see in football with that goalkeeping save in the last minute. On this one, we've got a Cambridge winner in the last minute, and the pile-on just screams promotion to me. I absolutely love to see that. Where's Houlihan with an assist? A winning goal for Cambridge and a pile-on. I just love to see a pile-on. They're just going up, aren't they, Cambridge? It looks so good this season. And another big win for them, brushing Carlisle aside. Something that did catch my eye. I say brushing, winner in the last minute. Yeah. The thing that did catch my eye, last week we mentioned concrete, inanimate, Ronald, whatever you want to call him, Rob McDonald. Carlisle actually had the chance to go 1-0 up and miss it. It then goes up the other end and Rob McDonald's decide, yeah, might as well get myself an assist. Flicks a header on for Mullin. Mullin gets his record-breaking goal. Thankfully for McDonald, he did get an assist at the right end, but I think it's Mullin that we all want to talk about again this week.
Yeah, I might even mention him later on in our goal of the week as well. So, maybe. It'd be funny if I didn't now. But yeah. Record-breaking and Paul Mullin.
Yeah, most club goals in a season. Takes him to 25 of the season. A pretty big feat for Mullin, considering he's been around for a little while. So I'm not sure anyone saw this coming for him, but what a season he's had. 35-year record, that is. So fair play to him. And they've done something pretty big, haven't they? Made a bit of a statement for Mullin.
Yeah, this is obviously pre-planned, isn't it? But they've actually named a stand after him.
But halfway through the game, they just randomly did it. Someone gets a pen out and starts writing on the wall.
Stop the game, yeah. The crane comes on. Bring on the crane. Paul Mullin scored. Stop the game. Bring on the crane. Carlisle players going, what the?
It's not even your stadium.
It's a bigger crane with them. It was played at Carlisle.
I've just realised.
Four fucking two.
Well, as I said before, it's obviously international break for the Championship this weekend. So we thought we'd do something a little bit different. We've actually been working on an EFL England 11. So between the three of us, well, I say between the three of us, I hope the other two have bothered. We've been making an EFL 11, so obviously players from Championship, League One and League Two. Of course, they've got to be English. Best 11 we could make out of the three. I'm hoping we haven't all picked the same players. Andy, I think we'll hear your England EFL 11 first, please. Manager included.
Yeah, you heard from Mike Bassett there, and I'd like to think I'm a similar manager. We're all on our own Mike Bassetts this week. What am I saying? Shall I just do my team? Yep. In goal.
Benson and Hedges.
Well, they're not both in goal. The goalkeeping, I don't want to take too long on mine, but the goalkeeping one was the hardest position, I felt. Say we had to have a mix of Championship, League One and League Two players in there, so you couldn't just pick Championship. But I've gone for Freddie Woodman of Swansea City in goal.
Ooh.
Yeah, I like the way he plays it out from the back. Had a really good season in a good Swansea side. Yeah, and I think he just fits my style of play, which isn't. And unfortunately, Bartosz Bielikowski is not English. So, at right back is John Daddy Bodvarsson. No, I'll run through it a little bit quicker and then we can discuss it after, can't we? I mean, the listeners, we've really thought this bit through. Max Aarons is at right back, another top Championship player. Centre half pairing, two of my favourites from the podcast. Aaron Hayden, clearly. Harry Darling next to him. MK Dons / Cambridge.
Your best mate.
Yeah, he's out there. And then...
referring to you, so... Yeah.
Left back, the only Millwall player that's made the list, funnily enough, is Scott Malone. Struggled with left back as well, so I thought, yeah, let's just stick the Millwall left back in there. Simple. That's a strong back four, I think, there. Very strong indeed. A lot of football. Hayden's going to win a lot of headers there. Darling plays it out of defence, and you've got Malone and Aarons bombing down the wings. Superb. And then, you know, the sort of inside wingers. Scott Twine of Swindon / Newport. Incredible season. Morgan Rogers of Lincoln, on loan from Man City. He's on the left-hand side.
He loves Rogers. You just knew he was going to go Rogers, didn't you?
He's just picking a team of players who can score from 30 yards.
And he's nailed it. Yeah, they're not a great scorer of goals, my players, but they're a scorer of great goals. Okay.
Please say Adam Reach.
It was me sitting there thinking he was just picking 11 players that we've mentioned on the podcast more than once.
Yeah, that is all. Because they're the ones I've heard of. Talking of that, Sammy Smodic has made it into my team in central midfield, Peterborough, League One. Next to him is Ovi Ajaria of Reading. Love him as a player, and Michael Olise. Technically French, I'm going with. So I thought. Well, there's a little bit of, you know, is he? So I just picked his mate instead, Ajaria. He can play instead. Up front, bring on the crane. It's Paul Mullen. And next to him, someone who should be in everyone's team, Sir Ivan Toney. Yeah. Unstoppable. Mm. And, you know, I said the way I want to play football. We're playing rock and roll football. Gareth Ainsworth's leading the team.
Oh, no.
Come on. Call us the Wanderers. We roam around. Oh, no. Around. Around.
At least you've got your England.
Yeah.
I've forgotten the word.
Team. At least you've got a team.
At least you've got your World Cup anthem sorted.
Yeah. Has there ever been an England manager with long hair like that?
I've got one question.
Bloody Jew on my long hair.
I've got one big question, if I may. And I am. So you've justified a lot of your players there by saying that they fit the style of play you want. So you want this passing out the back. You want a bit of wingers bombing down. Then you've chosen a manager who only knows how to play the exact opposite of that. I've got questions. It's a bit like, I suppose, though, you could say that. Look at the current England squad. They decided to make Allardyce manager. So I suppose there is some communication. But odd one. I'm not sure whether it's just to wind me up or not, but...
I think you're only as good as the players you've got, in my opinion. And Ainsworth's got his style at Wickham. He'll have his style at England, whatever this is. So yeah, any other thoughts about those players? Has anyone got the same players? Is probably the best way to start before we move on. Everyone's got Ivan Toney.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got one of those. I've got one more of those because I like a goal from 30 yards. But no, I'll save it. I'll save it.
Scott Twine.
Well, we all know it's Scott Twine. We all know.
It's I was gonna put Darling in there. There's a few players who I've gone to write down, and then as I've written them down, I've either gone, well, Luke's gonna have him, or I've gone, oh, Andy's gonna have him. So I've thought, try and pick something a little bit different. And Darling was one of those. So you would have made the cut if I wasn't 100% certain you were going to pick him. And the exact same goes for Paul the Crane Mullin. So that's really the only reason he's been omitted from my squad.
Yeah, I am so
I'm talking
obvious.
A lot about my squad. talking a lot about my squad. Shall I just go through it?
You go for it. I'm intrigued now. And now you're not a... I think I'm the only one to have gone for 4-4-2, aren't I?
Yeah, you are.
I am intrigued to see what
back,
this...
which you will hate.
Oh, here we go. There's only one manager, he could have picked then.
Gary Rowett. So, I say five. I want the wing-backs bombing forward. Used your word, bombing there. I want them more forward than back. But we'll start in goal. I agree. The goalkeeper was probably the one you had to think about the most. Woodman, a good shout from you. But there's one name that stood out for me, which might seem a little bit strange this season. In a team that haven't really done that well, we've talked a lot about their, well, manager more than team, Bristol City. I've gone for Dan Bentley in goal. He saved them on more than one occasion this season. Perhaps not enough. But he's saved one of the Dan Bentley looks to me ready to make the step up to the Premier League. Is that a bold statement?
I tell you what, I like that pick because I think the only time we've ever mentioned him was last week and we were having a pop at him for making mistakes, which was hard.
Yeah.
So he needed this. He needed this. Luke was quite rude about him, actually.
I said he did possess the best save I've ever seen in the flesh.
Oh,
so,
yes. Yeah.
You know, swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, unexpected, but I like the choice.
If you like that, you'll love this.
Harry Darling.
I said bombing forward, and I've said I want my players to get forward more than I can get back. And I'm pretty sure this player wouldn't actually be able to get back if he got too far forward. Chris Stokes. We've mentioned him a few times. On this at left wing back, Chris Stokes. Andy, you make that noise, but I think it was you who actually put him in the same bracket as Marcelo, Roberto Carlos. So,
yeah.
Chris Stokes at left wing back. Right wing back, there was only one choice for me here. Unfortunately, this guy's now injured and out for the rest of the season. Fankati Dabo, the only Coventry player to make the team. I'm still yet to be convinced that there's a better right wing back in the league.
Oh, wow. Marlon Romeo doesn't exist, does he? Or?
Wherefore art thou Romeo?
Yeah.
you laugh, but you didn't even pick him.
Because he is Antiguan and Barbudan, so...
That's common knowledge.
No, fair point. Dabo for me at right wing back. As I say, not seen anyone who's impressed me as much as him. I've obviously got three centre-backs in my formation, which Andy's probably not too impressed with. But he will be impressed with this pick. Jake Cooper in the middle of the three. I was going to pick Hutchinson, but with youth on his side, Jake Cooper.
You're building something special here, aren't you? Chris Stokes.
Chris Stokes is, of course, the experience in this team. Oh, yeah. Something that made me laugh about Jake Cooper when I put his name into Google was that he went to a school in Wynnersh, which...
yeah, he is from that.
For the Office fans amongst us, it's probably the only time I've ever heard of Wynnersh other than when David Brent uses it. Either side of Cooper, I've got two Premier League loanees.
Oh.
Young but talented. I've got Deshaun Bernard. Salford centre half. Much like yourself, Andy, I want to be playing out from the back. So these two look more than comfortable doing it. I've got Deshaun Bernard and Deion Sanderson, who is playing for Sunderland, again on loan from the Premier League from Wolves. Although just as the Sunderland fans were actually getting to love him, I think it was this week he announced that he's definitely going back to Wolves and wants to play in the Premier League. So that won't be... a long-lasting move for Sunderland.
Yeah, you may have to change your team shortly then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for when this team wins the Euros, we move into midfield. I've got two central midfielders, one sitting slightly deeper than the other. Josh Vella of the engine of the team, Shrewsbury's Josh Vella. Yeah,
this is really quite a niche side, isn't it, compared to.
This is one for the hipsters. Compared to the,
maybe that's the word. This is a hipster EFL 11, isn't it? And if you could see what James was wearing at the moment, you'd say, yeah, you could see and pick that.
I like it though.
I mean, if you're referring to my all sky blue tracksuit topped off with dressing gown, then I'm not sure what you're getting at. But
I'm naked.
Yeah, Josh Vella, someone who's been crucial to the turnaround at Shrewsbury under quite strange management, obviously, at the moment for various reasons. But yeah, an absolute engine down in League One, Josh Vella. Next to him, I've gone for a player who's really impressed me over a couple of seasons, actually. George Grant for Lincoln. My first experience of George Grant is one that really made me laugh. It was... during a 4-1 win for Coventry in a playoff semi-final in League Two.
There was a reason he brought that player.
he's been awesome for Lincoln this season, particularly with his contribution going forward. But yeah, 4-1. The only way I could get tickets to the playoff semi-final, which was a bit of a scramble for tickets against Notts County, was to buy some strange sort of meal in a box before and then escorted through the county end into the Coventry. Now, at full time, obviously, beers were flowing. George Grant comes back up in the sort of lounge area where we're having our beers, absolutely laughing his head off, not a care in the world that they've not made the final because he was on loan from Forest at the time, which will stay in my memory for a long time.
That's the sort of player I want in my team. Yeah, that attitude.
No, Antigua and Barbuda. Yeah.
That is a very good pick. Arguably League One Player of the Year so far. So
thank you. Just in front of those two, I'm actually playing a number 10. Someone that obviously Luke will be really pleased is in this team. Someone he's spoken about a lot this season. Todd Cantwell.
Love the Blake. Never said otherwise.
Todd Cantwell. Again, someone we sort of gave some unwarranted stick to last week just because he was pulled up for the goal of the week. He's had a great season. Looks ready for the Premier League this time around. Todd Cantwell sitting in the number 10. Into the front two then. I won't waste any time. Of course, even Tony's in there. Ivan Tony. Just scores goal for fun, doesn't he? Next to him.
Nothing else needed.
Next to him. Someone that I can see following in the footsteps of people like Tony to step up into sort of a Brentford side. And maybe you could say even the England side in real life. Following the footsteps of his close friend, Ollie Watkins. Down in League Two, Matt Jay scoring goals for fun at the moment for Exeter. And he actually said this week that he's working on arriving in areas at the right time, and nothing screams that more than his goal this week. A deflection finds him and he taps it into the net. Next to an even Tony who can score from anywhere in the pitch but also provides assists, it's Matt Jay. And that concludes my England 11. You guessed earlier, or you alluded to earlier, who I was going to have as manager. You're not wrong, I don't think. It's little squeaky Robbins wants to be England manager. Well, guess what? He is now. Mark Robbins, England manager. No one better for the job.
No.
Any questions?
Steve Evans might have a question about that last one. Have we got that clip, Luke?
I think the only bit of sense to have ever come out of Steve Evans' mouth. But over to you, Luke. I think now's your time to shine.
Right, I'm going to go from the... I'm actually not going to start with the goalkeeper. I'm going to start with a front three.
No. You can't change the rules. Goes third.
You'll find out why.
Picked a goalie yet.
God, you're scrambling for it.
You'll find out why. England are going into the Qatar World Cup with a rush goalkeeper. Yeah.
Luke's boycotting the Qatar World Cup.
Come on then, let's hear it.
I'm going to start on the left because I think he could play anywhere and score goals. Ivan Toney, no more needed. I'm going to go all out here and say, with the World Cup next year being played in winter, a bit more time, I think he's just going to scrape into the England team. I'm going to put it out there. I think he's going to do it. Second of all, when you see the wingers I've got, centre forward, Charlie Wyke, 6'4".
Like it.
Yeah, he could header a brick, that bloke. On the right-hand side, James Vaughan. I'll tell you why. Might not have the most
three
goals.
Three strikers here.
Oh, yeah. We're going all out. And again, you'll find out why.
11 strikers. He's got 11 strikers. That's why he's not got a goalkeeper. James Vaughan on the wing. He can't move anymore. Carry on.
Here, we drifted inside. It's fine. 11 Man of the Match awards this season in League Two. Closest to him, Ricardo Santos with 8. Arguably one of the most best players, even though he's got no mobility. So, you know, hats off James Vaughan. On the left, James, I totally agree with everything you say. It was mainly, I voted...
everything.
Playoff semi-final versus Cov. That's what I
think about Jamil matters. Shouldn't interrupt.
Right, on the left, a player I've picked because of his playoff semi-final versus Cov. Oh, wait. I picked George Grant as well, James. Ooh. 11 goals, 7 assists this season. Great delivery. He'll stick it on Charlie White's head. Easy. And on the right, I'm going to go against what you said, Andy. I know he's played for France at youth level, but that doesn't mean we can't persuade him. Michael Olise.
He's got 9 players. Players now. No goalkeeper and an illegible.
A Frenchman.
Yep. 10
Bonjour,
strikers and a
Michael
Olise.
Sounded more and more like Mike Bassett.
Yeah. Right, 2 centre mids. Oh, yeah, I've gone for Scott Twine. 30-yard screamers, whatever you want. Yeah, I think I found it. Is Nan you saw when it was English?
I'll persuade him.
Emmy, come and join us. You'll love putting it on Charlie White's head.
You've gone for a Coventry player, James. Andy's gone for a Millwall player. I'm going to go for a Carlisle player. Our player of the season so far, Callum Guy. 9 assists. If you want someone to put it onto... 9 assists. If you want 2 players to put it on Charlie White's head, George Grant and Michael Olise. You want someone to play James Vaughan through, he's your guy. Now, with a front 7 like that, do you even need defenders?
Yeah. I'm writing down the players as you say them here, and I'm really struggling to work out the formation.
Can I ask a question at this point? Is there anyone playing in their actual position in your team? Just filling it full of uninformed players.
Channel, you're in a Mike Bassett. Right, much like this podcast, most of the work is done behind the scenes from the Bennetts. So I've got a back 3. Rhys Bennett, he's eligible to play for Jamaica, but also England.
I'll persuade him.
I've gone Ryan Bennett, Premier League experience. And just to fit the fact that they're all going to be Bennetts at the back, Joe Bennett from Cardiff City. Don't know anything about him. Welcome to the team. And the reason I haven't gone for a 4-4-2, there isn't another Bennett that plays in defence.
So Joe Bennett will have to play centre half, then I guess, yeah.
Play
centre backs. Yeah, left centre half. Sorry, left centre half. I have thought about it a little bit. And in goal.
Oh no, we're going to the manager next because it's going to justify my reason for the goalie. Now we've had a week.
Paul Bennett, about... manager, Luke Bennett in goal.
My dad's shouting like, "Wake up!"
There's no way his dad would pick him.
Fair point. Trish Bennett, manager, Luke Bennett in goal.
We've reached peak inside jokes here.
Everyone knows every member of my family. Manager, I've got Neil Warnock.
What's the cat's name again?
Cat died. Died a month ago.
Oh, what a way! What a way to break that news to the listeners.
Oh dear.
Well, I've got a tag on it. How was I to know? I'm sorry.
Well, think, yeah. Use this.
I still haven't said who the manager is. It's Neil Warnock. We've got a week without him and without 4 minutes of absolute gold shouting at referees. I feel a little bit empty. It's got to be Neil Warnock.
Yeah,
he could motivate those players. And with them all playing out of position anyway, you need motivation more than anything and relying on quality more than anything. So if I'm, obviously I'm going to be assistant manager to Neil Warnock, who wouldn't be? Mm. Now, if you want this, I want this documented in, and who else to go to but the cycling goalkeeper? I want this all filmed. So I've gone for Ben Foster. Round it all off. We're going to make a YouTube series out of it. YouTube Originals, Neil Warnock and the EFL England 11.
Just to comment on that last one, I mean, he's currently out of the team, got injured and... Backman came in and played well, so he's keeping Foster out of the team. So
it's going over logistics.
If you wanted someone to film
Frenchman.
It,
I've got a Frenchman.
If you wanted someone to film it, I mean, we might as pick Tarantino or something. We've got it doesn't matter. It's all made up.
Tarantino, I tell you what, it is going to be a bloodbath with that many players playing out of position and Warnock managing.
Yeah, in goal, Samuel L. Jackson.
I'll persuade him. Joaquin Phoenix, I'll persuade him.
That was an all right looking side until we got to the defence where Bennett's took over. And I will put these on our Twitter page, followed by a little poll of who's got the best team. And I think those last four selections from Luke may have just tipped him into last place.
So many questions, not enough time, but three brilliant, two good England 11s there, followed by a French-English absolute mismatch of... Well, whatever you want to call it, really. But George Grant really comes out shining from that selection of players there, doesn't he?
And Andy, where are they going to find that poll?
Are they going to find it at Three's a Crowd Pod on Twitter?
Well, as we said earlier in the episode, it was a week without the championship this week. And we didn't want to completely omit them from the episode. So what we're going to do, this is going to be part one of a three-part absolute thriller series here. predictions from the three of us. Now, we've not really discussed where we've or how our predictions have gone, should I say. We are actually going to start with a prediction of, let's say, the bottom six or seven of the championship. Of course, that will include the three teams that we fancy to go down. So we've each done a prediction table, hopefully anyway. And let's hear where we've got these teams then. We obviously did Andy to go first on the England 11. So I think we'll do a reverse order this time, which I suppose leaves me in the exact same place as before. But Luke...
There's only three of us, yeah.
Right, I'll start off where I think we're all going to start off. 24th, Wickham. We can just all agree on that right now, can't we? I've been quite kind, actually. So they've put up a little bit of a fight. They're up to 34 points. Yeah. They're still 12 off of safety, but... Yeah, can't see them getting any too many more, especially with Gareth Ainsworth leaving to be England manager.
Oh, yeah.
23rd, I must have just had Rotherham's run-in. in my mind the whole way through the predictions, because I've got them finishing 23rd.
Oof.
Yeah, 41 Oof. Points. 41 points. I just can't see them like avoiding injuries and getting tired. And yeah, I must have just had that in my mind. Not sure how their running is, because I've forgotten it already. But I've got them finishing 23rd. The final relegation spot, James will be thrilled to hear, it's gone to Sheffield Wednesday.
Oof.
You don't want to see a club that big get relegated. 44 points, if anyone's wondering. 44 points. I think the amount of managers, I think the problems at that club go a bit higher than the manager. They go higher than Pulis and Darren Moore. So, yeah, I've got them finishing in the final relegation spot. Anyone agree with that? No?
No.
Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to that.
Can I ask then, Luke, you've said that I would be thrilled about Sheffield Wednesday taking up that final, third and final.
Well, anyone taking
relegation
it up, really.
Spot. Well, yeah, exactly. I don't, because I'm just not us. Can I ask who finishes in what I would call probably the best position in the whole of the championship, 21st? Who have you got finishing there?
Yeah, the start of the season, I asked you, James, if someone offered you 21st for Coventry this season, would
Rip
you
your
take
hand off.
It? And you said exactly that. No, I've got you finishing higher than that. What a season it's been. 21st, Birmingham City, 46 points. Yeah. Level on points, Coventry City, 20th.
We'll take it.
Yeah,
on 46 points.
46 points.
Mm. It's going to be a low total then, isn't it, if we're saying that to stay up this season. To be honest, people talk about the magical 50 point and it doesn't sound like anyone reaches that until about 13th in your table.
Just Luke's gone through and go, well, the top team will beat the bottom team. 12 feet.
Which, 13th. By the way, just to add some context to 13th finishing on 50 points, Luton are currently 13th, 50 points. So
that'd be difficult.
Yeah, taking up the final two spots in the bottom seven. Huddersfield, 19th, 47 points. No one reaching that illustrious mark. And I rated Derby a lot worse than this because they can't seem to score a goal at the moment. I've still got them 18th, 50 points. I can't remember giving them a win towards the end of the season. Doesn't matter. Rooney's done it. Save them.
Well done, Wayne.
Not actually happened yet, by the way. But I suppose that means it's my turn.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, I'm really interested in James's pick here. Because, I mean, there's a lot more. There's a lot of heart instead of head maybe going into some of the decisions, I feel. I mean, I hope he's used his head. Let's find out. And in eighth place.
I don't really know where to start. Luke started at the bottom of the table. And just like he broke the rules of the England 11, I'm going to break the rules this time round. I'm going to start with 18th place. Build a bit of tension, I think.
Yeah, I like it. Ooh. Like it.
I knew you would.
Well, this isn't his first rodeo.
It's not my first rodeo. You know who else it isn't? Rotherham. It's not their first time at a relegation scrap, is it? I've got them having a hell of a finish to the season. Luke, you said earlier you'd forgotten their running. If I'm being honest, I feel like their running to the end of the season is fully in their hands. Okay, they've got that ridiculous stack up of fixtures where I think they're being asked to play about four games in about 4 days. But they've got Huddersfield to play, Birmingham to play, Wickham to play, Coventry to play. All of the teams that are down there, you win two of those and you're probably safe, let's be honest. So I see them having a strong end to the season. So I'm going to go totally against what you've said. They're going to finish 18th for me on 58 points.
Jesus Christ.
Your 18th place has 58 points.
Wow. Yeah. What a strong season the Millers are going to have.
Well, it sounds like all the teams at the lower half of the table are going to end strongly.
Well, you say that. Quite a big gap now.
Okay.
The bottom six are, let's say, cut adrift from Rotherham at this point. 8 points less than Rotherham in 19th place is Lee Bowyer's Birmingham City. I just think, looking at their running, I just think they're going to have enough. Okay, they've got a tough couple coming up. They've got Swansea coming up, which probably won't get much out of that, will they? But again, they've got Derby to play, Rotherham to play. They've got Forest, who, if we're all being brutally honest, aren't totally safe from this scrap at the moment. Blackburn, who have not exactly taken the league by storm in the second half of the season. So I think Birmingham will have enough. I think they'll finish on, as you said earlier, the illustrious 50 points mark in 19th. Okay, this is where it gets interesting. In 20th.
Wickham.
On 48 points. Swansea, no. I think they're about 40 points ahead of that already. In 20th place, you said heart over head, head over heart. Coventry City, 48 points. Oh my God. It feels horrible saying it out loud because it feels like I've just jinxed us to finish bottom of the table on about 10 points. But we, I don't know. Looking at our running, I've talked a lot about run-ins here, but we have got a horrid run coming up, actually. QPR, who are having a good run at the moment. Bournemouth fighting for top six. Stoke, who have looked fairly decent all season. Still got Barnsley to play in that mix as well. So, some horrible teams to come up. But in that mix, Huddersfield, Rotherham, Preston, a very average Bristol City side with nothing left to play. Ha! And ending the season at home to Millwall. I think we'll do enough. I think we'll finish on 48 points in 20th. I've got to back my team. 21st and 3 points clear of the drop. Wayne Rooney's Derby County, 46 points. Derby, 46 points, 21st. I think they'll just about do it. There's too much quality in that team. I questioned their fight a couple of times, to be honest, whether that team's built for a relegation scrap or whether it's actually built to be higher up the table. And obviously, Rooney's inherited a team at a pretty awkward time, but I think they'll do just enough. So into the bottom three. This is probably the one that I'm not sure any of you would have had in there. And a lot of it is me backing them not to win the six-pointers between now and the end of the season. 43 points, 22nd. Huddersfield Town.
Ooh, wow.
That is a shout.
Down.
I think they go down. Now, I made this prediction before they signed world beater Niasse up front in the week, which could bring them some more firepower, or it could not in the end of the season. But yeah, they've got Rotherham, Forest, Coventry to play, but they've also got Reading, Brentford, Bournemouth, Norwich, Barnsley, all to play before the end of the season, and which I clearly predicted them to pick up minimal points. So Huddersfield, third from bottom.
I'll just interject there. Two words. Yah, yah, Sanogo. They ain't going down, boy. They ain't going down, boy.
That's a little peek into Andy's predictions. 23rd and 24th, Luke, I've got two teams that you also picked to go down on 41 points, which if you look at the table means they'll probably only get about 9 more points from here, is Sheffield Wednesday in 23rd. Like you say, it's never nice to see a big team drop, but I think it's their turn. So, see you later. And then bottom of the table, no surprise.
Making us wait to hear that last one. Bottom of the table.
Suspense is killing me. Who could it be?
Who I see picking up only 2 points between now and the end of the season, which is rich coming from me as they got a point against us last week. Wickham Wanderers on 29 points. Goodbye and good riddance.
Very harsh. So can we just go back there? You've got Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield joining Wickham. Luke, you had
Sheffield Wednesday and Rotherham joining Wickham.
Oh, you did, didn't you? Now I've got a different team going down.
Oh, where are you starting yours?
In the middle.
Funnily enough, <Yeah. laughs> I'll start at the start, I'll end at the end. I'll start with Rotherham because we seem to be focusing on them quite a lot here. And I'm going to start in 16th place. Rotherham United. They pick up they're only on 51, which actually sounds not that many compared to some of your choices. But yeah, they're on
58.
Yeah, they're on 51, one place above Preston North End and the Sable, and above Nottingham Forest, who are in 18th. And then in 19th place, on 49 points, is Derby County. Now, I can't really say too much here about they've got too much to be involved. I think they're going down because it is just so tight, my table. They're on 49 points. 20th, 21st and 22nd are all on 48 points. Unbelievable end. And I promise you, I didn't do this on purpose. It just happened.
He says that knowing full well Coventry play Millwall last game of the season.
Exactly. Exactly. I will say Coventry 1, Millwall 1 is the last game of the season. Okay, that's what I put down. And in 20th place on 48 with minus 15 is Huddersfield Town. They survive. They survive on 48.
You know what's going on.
They survive on 48, so they get 6 more points between now and the end of the season and concede, well, end up with a minus 4 from where they're at the moment and stay up.
Yeah. The maths doesn't lie. In 21st place, surviving by just 3 goal differences, Coventry City.
Oh,
on the last
yes.
day, they've survived. That point on
we
the last
it.
Day. The how tempted I was to just change it at the end and say, "Oh, we'll beat them on the last day to send them down." But I thought, no, I've picked it. I'm going for it now.
Sorry to interject. Can I ask the goal difference you have Coventry finishing on?
They're on minus 17.
Only one worse off to where they are now. I'll take it.
They've done well. They've survived. They've done what they needed to do. They've survived by 3 goal difference. That means this is a team. I've got Sheffield Wednesday going down as well. They're on 48 points as well. So unlucky. Last game of the season. They're at Watford. I've got them losing that one. Unfortunately, it could be a cracking last day. Huddersfield actually
could be.
They drew with Brentford to stay up on the last day. I could easily put them down. Actually, change that. They're down. No. They survived. They've drawn that game. Yeah. So Sheffield Wednesday on 48 points. I've got Birmingham City relegated 23rd on 42 points. They're 6 points off. They're well down in my book. Difficult games coming up, and I can't see Bowyer really turning it around like you could see Rotherham, for instance, turning it around. And yeah, they're down in my book. So we've all got Sheffield Wednesday, but I've picked Birmingham to go. Coventry survive. Wickham
Birmingham. Birmingham picking up only 4 points between now and the end of the season.
Probably 4 bad, draws as well.
Which sounds bad. And then you look at their running. Swansea, Stoke, Forest, Cardiff, Brentford, Rotherham, Derby, Blackburn. And actually, you can see why he's done it.
Yeah.
Will there be a Rotherham? Clearly none of us think, well, Luke does. But me and Andy don't think they will.
No, I think when Rotherham come up against those teams at the bottom, they've just got something else that they're going to win those games, I feel. So
that's what I've got as well.
Yeah, and they're sitting happy in 16th place. Millwall are in 12th, just in case anyone cares. Good season. Take that one.
No, and good. No one did. Didn't think so. No. So moving on.
That is interesting how we've got all got Sheffield Wednesday, but then our third choice is all different.
Well, we did do a quiz this week, listeners. But, I want to say it was technical error, technical issues, but Luke was involved, human issue, human error. We've answered it. Realised halfway through that Luke wasn't recording the quiz and didn't end up with a winner this week. So we're going to move on quickly, I think, to the next section of this week's episode. So thanks for that, Luke.
What is next? What is the next section of the podcast?
It's a new section I like to call Luke, You've Been Banned from the Show.
Shit! Did you see that? He must have a foot like a traction engine.
What is the next section, I hear you ask? It is, of course, Goal of the Week. Usually I set this section up by saying that there's a whole host of goals to choose from across the EFL. We were lacking severely some quality this week in goals. So I'm wondering if anyone brought any funny ones along. Is there anyone who'd like to throw their suggestion in there first? Luke, did you bring anything? Andy, what you got?
I think Luke should be forced to go first because I'm still annoyed about the quiz. I was going to win that quiz. We all know it.
I think he should be forced to go home, but
that's the first problem. With these Zoom meetings we're doing now, you can't throttle someone.
Well, I've gone for David Worrell, Port Vale. Good little win away at Crawley. It's played over the top, and Joe McNerney sees his goalkeeper coming out and just heads it over his head. Plays David Worrell through. You say we were missing quality. This game was certainly missing it. Plays it over his own goalkeeper's head. David Worrell runs around the side and places it into an open net.
I like that, Luke. David Worrell actually probably having his best season for Port Vale. I really liked him. He played for Millwall, you'll be able to guess. That's why I know about him. But yeah, really liked him at Millwall, but then he just slowly moved down the divisions and having a great season. So great that he's had a mention today. And for such a good goal as well.
A tap into an open net. Right, anyone got anything to beat that?
I've brought Paul Mullin along for the sort of 18th
really?
Time
Where
of the
is
show. He's up there writing his name on a stand somewhere. I think to break the Cambridge record, to get talked about that much, yeah, you want a special goal. And it was. He's on the right-hand side. I mean, the defender's just backing off and backing off. Don't know what he's thinking. And he's just sort of outside of the foot type finish out of nowhere. And right in the top corner, Mullin. He can't be mentioned enough, in my opinion. So
clearly not.
Paul Mullin.
It's the fact that you're told as a defender not to let anyone cut inside. So he does that. He goes on the outside, takes the tiniest touch and then rifles it into the top corner. As a Carlisle fan, you think, what can you do about that? What can you do about Paul Mullin at the moment?
I suppose one thing is don't head it on to him, Rod McDonald. Clear it or let your other defender get rid rather than flicking it over your fellow defender's head through to one of the informed strikers in the league. But yeah, not much more they could have done. Backed off.
Seems like he's undermined your goal, Andy.
Yeah, a little bit. I felt a little bit of tension after. I think we're all on the edge after that quiz.
What quiz?
Yeah. Anyway, what have you brought along, James? Bleep that.
No, I'm not taking anything away from Paul Mullin. Great finish. The Paul Mullin was here stand. But I'm bringing along a goal which I do feel beats it, but we'll see. It's in the Bradford game. Kean Scales scoring his first goal. A little back heel assist as well. The ball sort of drops down and a little back heel. Passed. I might even have gone through the defender's legs. I'm not sure. But yeah, flicked on. And then he's just opened his body up and bent one into the far corner. And it's a great way to open your account for Scales there. And I'm sure there's some puns to be made with that sort of surname. But we don't do that on this podcast, do we? And that's where my goal of the week stands this week. Kean Scales, back heel assist, bends it in the top corner.
I like a debut goal.
And you like fish.
And it's not a debut goal. Was it a first goal?
A maiden.
Yeah, a maiden goal. Yeah, I think Scales, lovely bit of skill, good goal. Like you said, we haven't had a good goal on the show for a while. in a segment that is called Goal of the Week, I want to sort of tip the scales in the favour of good goals. So, yeah, I'm voting for Scales this week.
Good choice. as you say.
I thought you might think that.
Well, I've weighed it up. And after weighing it up, I think that Scales...
say it again.
Scales is the one. Get the laugh. Scales wins it.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
It's high-risk, high-reward time of the week, isn't it? Another unsuccessful week in the camp. I had Joey Barton blowing his top midweek. I mean, he blows his top every week, but it wasn't quite what I asked him to do. Luke had a a goalkeeper goal. I mean, there was an assist from a goalkeeper last week and a goalkeeper getting on the end of a corner in the last minute in the Lincoln-Oxford game, but unfortunately didn't find the net. So you've hit the post on that one, Luke. Andy, yeah. Can you shed some light on your attempt? Or have we all forgotten?
Can't remember what it was. So, let's have another one.
We've all forgotten it. Memorable.
I'll tell you what it was. It was Joby McEnough to bring himself on and score a hat trick. Himself on the bench. Did he come on?
Yes.
Did he score a hat trick?
So I think really we should refresh as we do every week. Not long to go now, though, till we can stop doing this. And we'll have another go this week, shall we?
Well, I'm going to leech off of you, James.
Get your spade. You're digging.
You said Joey Barton to storm and do a knee slide last week and cause some controversy. Now, he said the referees have been a bit suspect for 7, 8, 9 games. I think this is game number 10 that they're going to be suspect. They're away at Ipswich. I think he's going to walk off before the end of the game. Straight down the tunnel, had enough. I think he's at the end of his tether and he's got better things to do, like watch YouTube videos about conspiracy theories.
There we go. A Barton storm off the pitch. Andy?
I'm going to keep it relevant to the show that we're currently doing. Well, not the other shows I do. We did an EFL England team earlier in the show. I hope you listened. God, it feels like months ago now. And so I'm going to use that. So I've picked 11 players, obviously. Yeah, that's something you need in a team. Where is this going, you're asking? I'm going to say that all of my midfielders and forwards that I've picked will score this Easter weekend. That's Scott Twine for Swindon, Sammy Smodic for Peterborough, Ovi Ejaria for Reading, Morgan Rogers for Lincoln, Paul Mullin for Cambridge, and Ivan Tony for Brentford are all going to score. It's just so doable as well. But also high risk.
As you've read it off, I'm thinking, yeah, they could score. They could score. They could score. Won't, but could. And
almost certainly none of them will score.
And as you speak, Harry Kane just headers one into the bottom corner. Yeah,
I didn't have him.
No, as you say, yeah, that does sound really doable, and actually quite like it. Means you've got to focus on more than one game. All of those players that kind of we've all talked about having great seasons so far. So yeah, could happen. And one that I'm actually really interested in keeping an eye on. So that's a great high risk, high reward. And really leads into another great one from me. And as he says it, you just know it's not. It's something that is based around Luke. I'm going to predict
a lot of food.
No, I'm going to choose one that's based around Luke. And yes, it's Carlisle United, because why not? Pile more misery on them. But also something else that he was keen on talking about a few weeks back, and that was the Wright brothers at Crawley Town. Now, I'm going to predict, and I won't lie here, I'm not sure if he's even played recently or not. I don't even know if he's fit, but he's going to be fit. He's going to be fit for the Carlisle game, I'll tell you that. Mark Wright, goal against Carlisle. That's it. That's the high risk. That's the high reward. The reward is very high because we'll get to see Luke's face as Mark Wright wheels away. So, Mark Wright, goal against Carlisle United to round off this week's high risk, high reward. Well, boys, I think all that really leaves me to do is say looking forward to those good Friday fixtures coming up and hopefully some success in the high risk, high reward. So I'll see you next week for another wonderful episode.
See you next Monday.
See you next week, guys.
Bring
on
25 minutes. Bring on the crane.
Hunton Park.
They've driven 300 miles with a crane.
Lashes a stand down. Yeah, get out. This is our. This is Paul Mullin's stand.
The floodwater's going to get in even easier now. Water piling into pitch through a new hole made by a crane. Ref, we playing on or?
Crane on pitch. That's next week's high reward, high risk.
Oh, God, the fact that that's going to be the name of the episode.
Of course it is.
I tried to make an EFL 11 of just Bennett's, but I got eight players. No goalkeeper, no strikers. Got a full defence in midfield out of it. Oh, Scott Malone. Not Scott Malone.
He's in my team. You're looking at my team. Surname. The word you were looking for was Bennett.
I'm in a team full of Bennett's and put Scott Malone in.